Good morning. Welcome in. 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody had an awesome weekend. I know the McMichael family did. Congratulations once again. I was so happy to get that text from you on Friday and see the baby girl had gotten into UGA. Yeah, it's awesome. Congratulations to you and her and everybody. And good morning to you, man. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, I'm all good, Andy, man. It was a we talked in the handoff. It was such a great moment for my baby girl, Kai, you know, because I know she's always wanted to go to Georgia. I know, you remember we had that NYU scare last year, and then she actually went to New York City in the winter time. Like, nah, Daddy, I don't think I want to do this. But yeah, I'm so happy.
Perfect
and
time.
So proud
Perfect
of her.
Perfect time to have her visit.
Hell
there
yeah.
If you didn't
so
want her to
so
go.
Happy and so proud of her. Genius. And everything. And our family, obviously, me and her mother, excited. Her stepfather and also Dono, just were very, very, very excited for her. To get an opportunity to go there and then have an opportunity to be up there.
Right.
You know, I went up to the game. Me and Samson went up to the game, and it was just great. Everybody laid everything out for us and you know, got to go on the field and see Kirby. And Kirby walks over to me, we hug and everything, and he's like, congratulations on your baby girl getting into Georgia. I'm like, how the hell did you know this? You
know? How did he know that?
And so just he said it. He's like, he told me congratulations and everything like that. So that was a very exciting thing. But yeah, just an all-around great weekend. No Falcons to complain about today, which makes it even better.
Really does.
You know, but it was a bunch of crazy, wild games. Like you said, the whole weekend. You know, just like when you sit there and we talk about certain places, and people think I'd be crazy when I say these phrases all the time. When I say strange things happen down there. And my Abe, one of his favorite phrases is mess around and find out.
Yeah.
And obviously that was a whole bunch of mess around and find outs. All Saturday evening, all those night games seemed like they were all that right there.
That's what it was.
Crazy.
That's what it was. Now, look, Georgia didn't have their best defensive performance against UMass. I don't think that's a secret. But they scored 59 points.
Yeah.
And Carson Beck played good. And Nate Frazier does what he did. And, look, they gave up a ton of yards on the ground. I think everyone probably gets the deal. they kind of messed around and didn't show up for that one defensively. But, they come out of it fine.
Sitting there watching that game, because obviously we're down there and everything, and watching them, they're one of the worst tackling teams that Kirby's ever had. Now, you want to talk about the first big run on third down. I don't know what the responsibility is. All I know is what I'm taught. And I know the end of man on the line of scrimmage, you're supposed to have the quarterback. And here they go just flying in, and then all of a sudden the quarterback breaks the game, 60-yard run. And then the other long run. You got him. He's tackled. You don't bring him to the ground. He breaks tackle. Gone. I mean, I thought that was the most frustrating thing sitting there watching that game was just the defense not tackling.
Yeah. Against a rushing
against
attack,
a rushing
like,
attack
that.
Like that.
Not a great sign with the next team that you have to play on Friday being Georgia Tech.
Exactly.
And the way that they like
and
to
play. And they want
to
do that. Obviously, they're going to be up because they're coming to Athens and all those different things. But, yeah, for them to have a support tackling game as they had in assignment football as bad as they did, It was irritating. I was never worried about losing. It was just an irritating game when you were sitting there watching it because you're like, come on, man, let's just get this thing over with. Like, Carson Beck should have never been in the game that long.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad he was because he was balling and everything. And then you look at the time of possession. He was, I mean, the first half time of possession, they got 21 minutes. We got 9. I mean, because we weren't able to get them off the field, and they didn't do anything special. We just didn't do what we needed to do off defensively and everything like that. So that was the frustrating part. But, yeah, I mean, you got a big game, rival coming in town. They feeling themselves, rightfully so. And it's going to be one of those things where was it just because you were playing UMass or was it a sign? Because it's back-to-back weeks you're giving up 100-yard rushers.
Yep.
And they don't happen at Georgia.
No, not historically.
Yeah, it don't happen.
Not with Kirby's teams, not with the good ones. And yeah, with Tech able to run the ball the way that they can, maybe that makes for a more interesting ball game than it's been in the last handful of years. Certainly more on the line, although because of the way things went on Saturday afternoon and evening, not quite as much as you would have thought, right? I mean, look, you're in the SEC championship game no matter what. So obviously you want to beat Georgia Tech, of course, but even if Georgia doesn't beat Georgia Tech, they go to the SEC championship game, win that, they're in the playoffs.
Dude.
So, you know.
Anything that it was crazy because we were talking and me and you kept saying, well, I don't want to have to do the scenarios for Georgia to get into Atlanta. You remember those?
Yeah, they did it for us.
We had all last week these conversations.
It was like, if it gets close, then we'll start getting into
exactly.
it. Exactly. Well, thanks to Alabama and Ole Miss.
You said it about Kalen DeBoer's teams.
And Texas A&M. And yeah, man. Well, I never – not that. Like, they don't lose games like that. Kalen DeBoer's lifetime record in November is like 34-2. Well, 34-3 now.
Right.
After what they did on Saturday night against Oklahoma. And that, like, I don't know. They're all bad. they're all bad. A&M losing to Auburn is bad. Auburn showed up and played great football.
But we kind of called it.
Definitely. That one, I think we called on the air. I don't know if you might have said on the air, you might have said it off, I don't remember. But you called the Florida Ole Miss one also. You called that one too. So that one wasn't super surprising, and we'll get to that in a little while. And Lane Kiffin, and it's like, dude, you had it. You finally did it. Like, you finally won a big game.
Right.
And then they start talking about not wanting to go to conference championships and, like, doing non-competitive crap. Yep. And then you go out there and you get beat by Florida, man. But the worst one was Alabama.
Because
they got smoked.
Melrose played awful. Mm-hmm. Like, he played – remember that Texas game last year? Then he got benched. Was it last year, the year, whatever it was, when he got benched?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah. He was god-awful in that game. I don't know what the hell I call Saturday. He was terrible. And now Oklahoma, we know this about Venables and their team. Their scheme gives running quarterbacks problems because they always got an extra man, and basically the quarterback has to beat him. Well, their extra man was making the play in the run game, in the quarterback run. Now, that was a crap call and everything. I don't care. You know, Tyler Simmons was on side, so I don't give a damn. Isaiah Bond dropped the ball last year. I don't give a damn about no bad calls.
Yeah, it was also 24-3.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about
they got beat
bad
by
calls.
Three touchdowns.
I don't care about no bad calls. But, yeah, for them to go in there and give Venables, because we talked about certain coaches getting their biggest win of their coaching career.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lane Kiffin got his against Georgia. This is Venables' biggest win against Alabama. Mm-hmm. And so now you see the chaos that some people like, as far as, because we still don't know what the criteria is going to be, because we've never been there in this situation where there's a three-loss team and they're not in their conference championship, but they have this big-name brand. Do they still get in over different scenarios? What happens in the SEC championship game? I mean, it's just an all-around crazy situation that, that this committee, who we still don't know what the hell they want or the criteria that they want as far as who's ranked where, is still going to be up in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if one thing was made clear on Saturday more than anything else, is it's really fun to talk about scenarios and if this happens and that happens and hypotheticals and all that, but there's no way, I don't know how long your radio show would have to be, in order to come up with all of the chaos scenarios that can play out and did on Saturday, because we talked about it a lot last week, like a lot. Yep. After the rankings came out and what Georgia needs to do and all this kind of stuff, we didn't envision all of this.
Nope.
Like, we didn't think all of that was going to happen at once on Saturday night. And you got to think about it from Indiana's perspective. They had their biggest opportunity of the year. They got smacked in the mouth. They came out and had a great opening drive. Great opening drive.
Feeling themselves. Like,
and then they made some plays on defense, and they missed an opportunity to kind of assert like a dominant position in that game. And then Ohio State's just better than them.
Yep.
And proved it for 2.5 quarters, and Indiana gets that score late, and it is what it is. So they walk out of that game like, damn, all right, we had our one opportunity. We get beat by 3 touchdowns.
Right.
No one's going to respect us anymore. And then they were the Alonzo Mourning meme that day. Started out angry. And as the day went, I don't know, maybe, as these other teams started dropping, they're fine.
Yeah.
Like, as long as they win this coming weekend, and they probably will.
We got Purdue or something.
Yeah, they're in, and good for them. Like, it would be a real shame for a whole season to come down to 60 minutes, and it's hard to go to Ohio State and win, by the way. Like,
it is.
Most teams can't do it.
It is.
But it's not that they didn't win. They got well dominated.
Yeah, they got hell yeah.
Exposed. Yeah, they got smoked.
Yeah, they got exposed for not playing like a top-notch player. Their coach, I love him. He got the gift of gab and everything like that. Go sit your ass down somewhere.
Yeah.
All right? No, Google. You know what it says? Google, ass whipped. That's what it says right now.
That's Ohio State. Yeah. There was a I don't know if it was the newspaper in Columbus or whatever it was, but it said Buckeyes win. Google it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pretty
so
good.
I want to hear that, man.
Pretty good.
I hear that. But it's absolutely
Will Howard's right. Putting the cigarette out on the sideline with his foot. It's pretty good. Talking trash. But you know what, though? They beat Indiana 29 straight times and never thought about it once.
Yep.
At least Indiana made them think about it this time.
And that's the thing about it was they came in there with their chest.
Yeah.
They came in all chest. The Hoosiers.
Ohio State had their full attention ready for Indiana.
Oh, no doubt about it, man.
On Saturday. And they gave it to them. And they beat the absolute hell out of them, man. That was a nice win for Ohio State. No question about it. All right. We'll come back. We'll let you hear some of the highlights from over the weekend. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Going to do a lot of college football today. Brett McMurphy is going to join us at 11:40. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Didn't play real well defensively, obviously. Disappointing there. probably the best thing we need for a wake-up call. Played really well offensively, but we overmatched our opponent.
Yeah, it was awful. It wasn't
wake up call.
Wake up, not, right. No. Okay. I mean,
I think it. Look, I don't know. I maybe I'm too quick to give the benefit of the doubt in situations like this, but like, they knew they were going to beat UMass just by getting out of bed.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's what happened.
It was, man. And I just thought that, you know, just like I said, they had opportunities to get off the field.
Yeah.
They just didn't tackle well in the run game, and then you get to a point where they're down there, they're inside your damn five. They're probably gonna score, you know, and I don't think there was any resistance. And I just thought, you know, just being there, actually watching it with my own two eyes, I was just like, damn, like, what the hell's going on? The bad angles.
Yeah.
And then you got a guy, bring him to the ground, you know. And so now we talk about this game, and we'll talk more about the game on Friday tomorrow. It's talking about Tech. You got to motivate a team that this is how they win football games. Mm-hmm. They had their two biggest upsets of the year by beating the hell out of people.
Yeah, running the football.
Running the football.
Being physical.
Yes, yep. That's what Brent Key wants to do.
Yep.
Kirby knows this. And so they're going to play a team that runs the exact same thing like this, man. They run those motions and everything with Lem to try and get you to bite something, and then they run up in the middle with the quarterback. Now, I don't know how good this kid is running the ball like Jackson. I'm not Jackson. I'm going to call him Jackson Dart. The quarterback.
Oh, Haynes King.
Haynes King.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
like, Haynes good.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't run it like that. I don't think he runs it like Haynes King. But, I mean, the dude is effective. He can throw the football. He's a young player.
Yeah.
Obviously playing in Athens and everything. Went up there, broke all the records and everything. But, yeah, they got to tackle.
Philo's from Athens.
Yeah.
That's right.
They got to tackle better. I mean, swarm and get the guy on the ground. And more than anything, play your damn keys. Like, if that running back would have burst up the middle, that's not your fault. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to cover up for something that happened, and then all of a sudden the quarterback comes out the back door and is gone. You know, and so I think that's the most important thing. They got to get back to sound and fundamental defense. But I thought Carson Beck was great. I thought the offensive line protected. Obviously, Nate Frazier running the hell out of the rock and everything like that. But offensively, whatever. It is what it is. We were going to – Yeah, whatever, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you could score every single time on UMass.
Yeah, I mean, they only had the ball nine minutes in the first half.
But still had 28 points.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, you don't worry about that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, just defensively, just the fundamental type thing. That's one of the worst tackling games I've seen them
have. Yeah, and the problem is that sort of falls in line with stuff we've seen from them all year.
Yes.
Is they're just not a great tackling
team. When they tackle well, you know.
They win those games.
They
play tough teams and tackle well. Texas, obviously. Tennessee, they tackled really well in that game in the second half specifically. But yeah, man, I mean, it's going to be fun to preview the game tomorrow for sure. Again, we only have two shows this week, so we'll do a lot of our look ahead stuff tomorrow for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with some rivalry games coming up this weekend and all that. Let's stick with what happened this past Saturday, though, first, as there's so much to sift through from a crazy Saturday in college football. Let's hear the way it ended between Auburn and A&M.
And now sprints wide left. Thorne looking middle, and what a catch! Lambert Smith came down with it. Breck snap, pitch back. Reed rolls right, dropped. It was dropped.
Unbelievable!
Auburn
poor kid.
Wins.
Yeah, man. Just flat out, you know.
You hate it. He did, and it's unfortunate. Never four overtimes, and I mean, he dropped it.
Yeah,
he flat down for Auburn to get out, because they played so great to start.
They got off to a great start.
They're
up 21-0, punched them right in the mouth.
Then A&M obviously makes the comeback and everything like that, and it's just crazy. But and that's the crazy thing about this whole college football season is that it just felt like that was supposed to happen. You know what I mean? Like A&M flying high, the coach kind of disrespects them by saying, Auburn.
Yeah.
It was like only meant for them to lose that damn game.
Yeah, and
you
look,
know what I mean?
We talked about them last week as far as all these teams that have a chance to get an SEC championship game, sort of the top end of the SEC. I never viewed them that way anyway. A&M's a nice team, and they're having a nice year with the first-year head coach, but they're not, you know. They're not that type of team.
Why do we view them like that? Was it when did they have?
I mean, the nice one they had was probably LSU.
Was it the LSU game? I can't remember how we – because we viewed them. I think a lot of people – and I kept looking at their rankings like they were like 9-1 or 8-1 mm-hmm. or something like that, but they were still like 15. They're like
– Yeah, I mean,
what?
They lost to Notre Dame
at home
first week, and then they got smoked by South Carolina.
It was going into the South Carolina game.
Yeah, because they beat LSU.
Yes, that's what it was.
And then the South Carolina came out and just kind of punched them in the face and beat them 44-20. That game was actually better than that in the second half, but then South Carolina ran away with it late. By the way, I mean all the chaos scenarios and everything that's going on with what happened on Saturday, South Carolina's lurking.
Yes, like, they are.
South Carolina's got a legitimate chance if they win, because they've got Clemson, right?
Yes.
And Clemson's ranked 12th. Of the three lost SEC teams that could be sitting there, Alabama plays Auburn, and who's to say that Alabama's even going to beat Auburn? The way that Auburn played this past weekend and the way that Alabama played, Ole Miss plays Mississippi State, so it's not going to do much for their rankings. And South Carolina sitting right there at 16th, just behind those teams. I don't know where the playoff rankings will have them, but
right.
That's where they are in the AP poll. They beat Clemson. It's a nice win.
They could jump in there.
That's 9-3.
You know,
they might be the three-loss SEC team that gets in.
It's crazy. It's one of those things where you just don't know. And obviously everything – and it's crazy. I think that if you look at what the poll is going to be tomorrow – and then what it's going to look like after all the championship games. I don't know where they would be because they don't have to play anymore. Like, obviously, they got to play Clemson. But if they beat Clemson, they're just sitting there.
Yeah,
and then that's
exactly.
I'm curious how they view teams that with three losses that don't play in championship games. And so it'll be interesting. It'll be one of those things to see. I wish I would have looked at the AP poll. But, I mean, I think that, you know, South Carolina, they're playing just good. They have something that travels. They can run the hell out of football, and their defense – them dudes are some game records over there, man.
They got awesome.
And their quarterback
awesome
has gotten better and better and better and everything like
that. Rocket Sanders is really good.
Rocket Sanders can run the hell out the rock.
A lot of energy. They're in a really good spot. As is Arizona State.
Wow.
After they beat BYU over the weekend, BYU goes from 9-0 to 9-2, and they're flat out of it.
Talked about them.
That game was crazy. You see how that game ended,
dude?
Arizona State. There was 1 second left on the clock. Their whole crowd rushes the field.
Been there.
They tear the goalpost down,
yes.
And they got to get everybody off the field for 1 second.
Been there when we beat Tennessee at home that 1 year, and they ran down the damn field. Like, Tim Wansley picks the ball up, Andy, and is running the ball back. Now, Tim, get down. We win. The game's over.
Yeah.
Tim is running. They're about to run. They're on the field while Tim is damn running an interception back. Then it gets down and everything like that, man. But, yeah. I know I'm with you when you said about the Arizona State coach. Yeah, that face of his.
He's a whiny face guy.
Yeah, but they got Larry.
He's a good coach, though.
They got Larry Zonka III. That little joke could be toting that pill, man.
Cam Scadabo he be
toting it.
You can't knock him over.
Dude, he be toting that thing,
he's
man.
Good. He's a good running back.
Yeah, he is, man. And now, you know, with the Colorado loss, and
yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk, like, the dejection that Deion had after that game.
Yeah.
It was because he knew it. He said it. We had it. And we tricked it off. He didn't say trick it off, but damn it, they didn't.
Kansas, man.
They can't stop. These dudes, three weekends in a row, Bunk.
Never happened before that an
three
under 500
weekends
team
in a row
has won three ranked games in a row.
Three of
this
them.
Late in the year. And the thing is, that, you know, not like anybody was paying that close of attention to Kansas earlier. They've been okay most of the year. They just couldn't stop turning the ball over earlier. They lost five of their six losses are one possession games because they just wouldn't stop turning the ball over. They stopped turning the ball over, and now they're beating these good teams.
Dude,
Devin Neal's a legit running back.
Like, dude,
that guy is like, phenomenal.
I mean, he's the best running back in Kansas. Well, I hate saying Kansas history because we know who the best. Dale Sayers is the best running back.
I didn't know he went to Kansas. Yeah. There you go.
He's the best running back to ever play at Kansas. But, I mean, this dude is just legit. And they gave Colorado, hey, okay, we'll give you some more of them.
Yeah.
Oh, you want some more of them?
Yeah, man.
Here, we'll give you some more of them. And they just kept giving to him, and they couldn't do nothing with
little
them.
Short passes, they handing it to
they
him.
They couldn't do nothing with him, man. And they obviously, Colorado lost. And so now this whole damn thing is just up in the air now, the Big 12.
Yeah.
You know, just don't know where that's going to go.
Big 12's getting one team in. I think we already
kind
of felt like that, but that's for sure now. Whoever wins the conference championship is getting in. It feels pretty likely. ACC's got a shot at two now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
With obviously Miami sitting there at 10-1, SMU at 10-1 as well, and then Clemson lurking at 9-2. They'd need some help to get in the championship game. But if SMU and Miami are 11-1 each playing in the ACC championship game, of course the winner gets in and gets a bye. Loser's got a shot,
too. Okay, of the two teams, who would have the better shot with a loss?
Probably SMU.
You think so?
Because SMU has some wins. I know Abe's parachuting in here to correct me, I think.
I would just say if Clemson beat South Carolina, they're the at-large ACC
team. The potential at-large.
Yeah,
I could see that too, for sure. And not having to play in the conference championship
helps them.
Because it seems – right. I see that as well. Thank you, Abe. Sorry for saying what I said.
No, we don't apologize.
Sorry for saying what I said. You actually made a good point there. I appreciate that.
No.
All right, let's. It came to an end, unfortunately, yesterday. The Cinderella run for Atlanta United at the hands of Orlando City. Let's hear the way that it finished.
Back to Amador, left side of the 18. Another cross shot blocked and cleared. 5 seconds to play. It rolls out to Schleish, and they blow for full time, and that is it. On the front door of the Magic Kingdom, the clock has hit midnight on Cinderella. Atlanta United is eliminated, and Orlando City goes to the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. Unfortunately, it came to an end yesterday afternoon at the hands of Orlando City. Not the most exciting offensive performance.
What the hell?
You'll
no.
ever see.
You know what? They lost their edge. I'm just going to say that, Andy, because the lack of aggressiveness that they played offensively, like, I don't know who was with us. And they said, God, who was with us? Somebody said, play to, like, keep it close and get to PKs or something like that. That's how they played. That's how they played.
I guess they had zero shots on goal.
None. Like that's what I'm saying.
It's hard to win a game if you don't take a shot on goal.
Passive aggressiveness of that is with the part that because they were blank to the wall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what they were, all gas, no brakes, because of the fact that still their backs were against the wall. Their backs were against the wall right here.
Yeah.
Or did they not look at it from that standpoint? Meaning, all right, because usually the desperation to get in is sometimes when you're in, you get to a point where it's like, okay, maybe our true colors come out. But it sucked.
I think the true colors is the best way to put it. I think that they probably had the right mentality. They just, you know, it caught up to them. Like, you know, it was a great run that they went on. They just are limited in some ways. And it was about as disjointed of an offensive performance as you're going to see. I mean, it was just, you know, once they got in the offensive third, which they almost never did, getting anything going, any passes strung together at all.
How many shots they had to go in?
Not many. Right. Not very many. Yeah. It's hard to win a game if you don't have very many of those. This hour is brought to you, but it was a good run, a really, really good run, and I still think that Rob Valentino deserves the job. I know they didn't win yesterday, but I still think the run that he went on with those guys.
It seems like he's had two.
I think he deserves
two stints.
That's my opinion. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Brett McMurphy, college football insider from the Action Network, is going to join us next. Get his thoughts on everything that went down on Saturday. Start projecting some of the playoff scenarios as well. Don't go anywhere. Brett McMurphy next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You must speak on line.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show. Andy and Randy with you here. Monday morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into everything that happened yesterday in the National Football League.
Where are your clubs at, dog? We're up here at the golf tournament.
Right there.
Make sure you got your club. Oh, you ready?
Yeah, they're right there. Don't worry about me.
Oh, yeah.
They're right there.
I'm worried about you because you got this quarter zip. Which is beautiful. Our 1990 game, you know, we got our golf tournament up here. It's beautiful. We get the quarter zip, but your hoodie's underneath it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I had a hoodie on.
Is this the purposeful look or?
Well, I mean, I had a hoodie. First of all right, I don't appreciate the implication. I had the hoodie on when I got here.
I know. I saw you with the hoodie on.
And then I got the pullover. So I just put it over.
So that's how you golfing today?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm wearing this because I got it. The boss is sitting right there, and he gave me a shirt, so I put it on. Like everybody else except you. So.
I didn't know, man. I mean, yeah, okay. Let me get a shot. No, is that the boss right there?
No, I think you should do what you want.
Yeah.
You should do whatever you want.
Yeah, but I was like, hold on, man. This dude, he's looking country as hell.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you looking real country. You looking like you from here. You looking like a like you from Georgia.
Nah, but this is like a nice thin golf hoodie.
Oh no, I like it.
People golf in hoodies now.
Really?
It's a new day.
What
yeah.
is going on with these new damn
golf
golfers?
Attire has really evolved. It's not just khakis and polos anymore.
Yeah, tucked to the nine.
Yeah, people, you know, you can wear like a, you got a hood on your shirt. Some people wear like those real short pants that show their ankle bones.
The short pants. You know what?
You know what I'm talking
about? We were watching it in studio, and I asked you that. I was like,
people wear them now.
Is this a new thing, capris at golf?
It is. And I saw Drew Butler had some on.
Yeah. I
mean, he had his ankle bones out.
Drew's a new age golfer, I'm assuming. So, yeah, you got your ankles out and everything, huh?
Not me. Not me. My ankles are hidden. Actually, I got shorts.
You got shorts on, dude.
My ankles are out, but only the whole leg's out.
Yeah, man.
Not just the ankle.
Just make sure you hit them straight.
I'm going to try. When we get off at 2, I'm going to tag in for Carl and see where his group is at.
Right.
Did this last year. Got to play, I think, like 4 or 5 holes last year. So, I don't know, hopefully we'll do that again. And then everybody comes back to the clubhouse for, you know, they got a great spread over there and stuff and awards and all that. I think I'm just going to stay out there.
There you go.
I'm just going to stay out there and play a few more holes.
It's a free golf at a nice golf course.
Yeah, it's a very nice golf course.
Yeah.
Eagle Watch up here in Woodstock. So thanks to them for having us and great cause and all that good stuff. It's a good place to be. Yeah, don't worry. My clubs are right around the corner. We're ready to go. All right, Brett McMurphy's joining us now, college football insider from the Action Network, as we have been talking a ton about what happened over the weekend and kind of projecting what it might mean going forward. But let's talk about Saturday first. First of all, Brett, thanks for joining us.
What's
today.
Going on, Brett?
Hey, I'm jealous you're playing golf. I'd like to join you.
Come on out. I don't know where you are, but
Tampa. I don't think I'll make it by tea time, but enjoy that.
I appreciate it. Who do you think was the biggest winner from all the chaos that happened on Saturday?
Oh, wow. Indiana and the ACC. I think the multiple losses by the SEC teams. Look, we could debate for the next 2 hours whether Indiana is one of the nation's top 11 teams, which you have to be to get into the playoff. But you've got to put 11 teams in there. So when you're comparing a one-loss team with a three-loss team, I understand the difference in strength of schedules. But I think ultimately this selection committee has shown us over the past 10 years the most important metric, forget about strength of schedule, forget about yards per play, whatever the nonsense they throw out there. The one consistent, they've always gone with the lowest number in the loss column. Mm-hmm. And the only exception to that was Florida State last year. And so I think because there's such a disparity between one loss and three losses, I think that locked Indiana in somewhere in the top 12 seeds. And I think it also bodes well for the loser of the Miami SMU game if both teams win this week.
Brett, do you think this is what they wanted when they went to this 12 team? Because obviously it's a TV show and they got to have some eyes on it and outrage after their team might have dropped a spot, like Georgia drops 12 spots and all those different things. But do you think this has made it more difficult for them? Because obviously they got all this strength of schedule, strength of this, all this other crap. But like you said, it ultimately comes down to what's in the loss column. But with these three loss teams, like an Alabama, teams like that, has it made their job more difficult?
Yeah, it has. And look, the rankings each week is you're dead on. It's a TV show. It's worthless. I mean, we all get outraged, but as we've seen, they don't. I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, I worked at ESPN. I know the sausage is made. It doesn't matter till you get to the final ranking, because we've seen in the past they have flipped teams that didn't play the week before. They've moved teams up that won by 50 points. They moved teams down that won by 50 points. They do a bunch of different things. The last one's the only one that counts. What you brought up about the strength of schedule and the number of losses by the SEC teams, that's the biggest issue with this whole thing that makes it so frustrating for everybody, is that there's no like list on how we determine who the best team is. Again, it's 13 people. You may think it's strength of schedule. I may think it's fewer losses. Somebody else may think it's, your strength of record, how dominating you are, how badly you beat your opponents. Everybody's got a different thing that they're looking at, and it boils down two, it's a beauty contest. And you may think one team's more attractive than another. I may think another team's more attractive than another. And it all boils down to it, somebody's opinion. There is no right or wrong way to do it. And basically, the other frustrating thing is, at the end of the day, they'll say, okay, here's our 12-team playoff. And then they'll tell you why that's the 12-team playoff. They never tell you specifically before why the, right. these teams are being chosen. It's always after the fact. Okay, here's our playoff, and then this is why we picked these teams. Well, they played great in the second half of the season. Well, they have a great quarterback. They, I mean, you've heard all the answers each week, but that's what's so frustrating. And, you know, I can argue both ways. You can go by Vegas ratings, the power ratings. They'll give you the top 12 best teams, okay? A lot of those teams are going to have three losses. Mm. So should teams be penalized if they don't win all their games or if they lose a lot of games? It depends on how you view the argument. That's why Nick Saban has always been a big proponent of having all the Power 5 conference schools play strictly Power 5 conference schools. So it is more like the NFL, so you can compare apples to apples, but it's certainly not that way now.
Brett McMurphy joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, college football insider for the Action Network, talking about what happened over the weekend and obviously projecting forward as well. Let me just ask you this, because I mean, there's a lot of debate about the back end of the playoff and who should get in with losses and all that kind of stuff. Who do you view as the best team? We've seen 11 games from all these teams. Who have you been most impressed by?
A lot. What week are we talking about? I mean, you know, Georgia the week of the Texas game, Oregon the week of the Ohio State game. I mean, the overall season, there's not one team that I'm like, this is the team that's going to win it. I think there's a handful of teams that can win it. I tweeted out literally a few minutes ago, the current odds to win the national championship. Ohio State's got the shortest odds. They're in Vegas. They are considered the favorite to win the national title. Yet, they're probably they may not even win their own conference. So that's what makes this whole thing so crazy. Before the season, I picked Oregon to win it. You know, I guess if Oregon wins, that makes me look smart. But you know, they could win it. They could lose in the Big Ten title game and then lose in the first round of the playoffs. I think that's what makes it so fascinating. I do think, though, that after about five or six teams, you know, Indiana's not going to win the national title. The Big 12 champ's not going to win the national title. The ACC champ's not going to win the national title. I think it's a very short list of who actually can win. But, you know, it's who gets hot, who stays injury-free, because even with this additional playoff and all the transfer portal, all these different things involved in college football, the one thing that hasn't changed that will impact who wins the playoff is the health of these teams. The rosters have not increased. You don't have more players than you had last year. You're playing more games. You're playing more competitive games. So who stays healthy? Who gets hot? And also, for the first time ever, who gets the best draw? We've seen that in college basketball. We've never seen it in college football.
Right. Brett, I was how about my Dogs? Because the fact is that, you know, they did have the bad loss to Ole Miss and everything, but yet the craziness of this college football season, they end up in the SEC championship game no matter what happens Friday against Georgia Tech. Did you see this one coming, especially after the loss to Ole Miss?
You know, I did and I didn't. I really liked what Georgia has done defensively. What concern I had about Georgia was when you looked at the Texas, Florida, and Ole Miss games, I think they had 8 or 9 touchdown drives. Only 3 of those were longer than 34 yards. So what that told me is while the defense was incredible against Texas, their offense really didn't do much. The defense set them up, special teams, different things. So the offense didn't have to do much. So that was a concern for me about Georgia, you know, moving on and potentially winning a national championship. Well, then what happens against Tennessee? 4 touchdown drives, I believe all 4 were over 75 yards.
Yep.
The offense, they figured it out. It came alive, whatever you want to say. I literally was doing a show earlier today, and they're like, well, why is Georgia up there, they struggled with UMass. I'm like, hold on a second. You think Kirby actually spent more than 5 seconds last week preparing for UMass? No. It's a practice game. He's working on what are they doing against Tech in the SEC championship game in the playoffs. So that's why people get so into this week-to-week thing. I think you kind of have to look at it overall for the entire season, and that's why I think Georgia's got a good shot. In my projected playoff pairings that I just put out, tweeted out, I've got Georgia. Excuse me, I've got Georgia winning the SEC and getting the number two seed, and eventually getting the championship against Oregon. We'll see if that happens or not. But I think if Georgia's offense can do whatever they did against Tennessee, and that offense shows up instead of the offense that showed up against Ole Miss, Florida, and Texas. And look, the defenses are similar. They're not the same. I understand that. But that really showed me that, hey, maybe Georgia figured this thing out where they've got a better idea of what they're doing. Obviously, the defense is always going to be there. I don't necessarily think it's as strong as last year, but it's still better than 99% of the units out there.
Brett, we appreciate the time.
You so much,
thank
Brett.
You.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Brett McMurphy there, College Football Insider, the Action Network, sort of a big picture look at where we're at right now in the college football season. Has your thought changed at all? Because we did this the last couple of weeks about, like, who do you actually feel like is the best from what you've seen?
Yeah.
Over the last couple of weeks, some of these teams have played bigger games.
I can't because I'm always going to ride with my boys. You know that.
Well, they might be the best.
Yeah, but you know I'm always ride with my dogs. But, I mean, you look at certain things. Oregon's very good.
They are.
With a veteran quarterback, and they got athletes. Mm-hmm. They got athletes just like Georgia got athletes.
They got a front seven, man.
And them dudes get after it. You look at Ohio State, how talented. We know they're one of the most talented teams
in
football.
They got a front seven. They got a front seven.
And you said it. You said this Friday how they were going to show up. So you got those three teams. I'm missing somebody. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can throw Penn State in there. Yeah, you can throw Notre Dame in there.
Penn State, Notre Dame.
You can throw Penn State, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Okay, Miami if you want because of how magical their quarterback
Texas,
is.
Texas if you want.
That's what I was leaving out.
Yeah.
I'll put Texas with those three. I know that you know they played with their food a little bit. And they haven't beaten the hell out of any bit. But I would go Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State.
Yeah, for me with Georgia, the whole thing was always if Carson Beck could ever just clean it up.
Yeah.
And he has. He has, I don't know if two games is enough to say that he's fully cleaned it up, but when he does, man.
Dude, they can go. And when they can go and Aaron Smith catches the ball.
It's big.
I mean.
It's big. Not to just completely.
And I think ATN is coming back this week.
Not to completely explain away or excuse some of the fundamental mistakes they made against UMass, but they're not treating that like it's like it's Tennessee or Alabama or whatever. And they still beat them by a million. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. It was a fun Sunday in the National Football League as well. One more game tonight, too. We got the Harbaugh Bowl between the Ravens and the Chargers. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.